We're going to stand together as we honor our Lord. We're going to read Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who'll roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Father, help us today as we reflect back on what these women saw for the first time, that the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ was empty. We don't need to be afraid. Because Jesus Christ lives, we too have eternal life. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Always enjoy sunrise service, but there is one problem with sunrise service. You might be smelling the food downstairs. Kind of that tug of war, you know, I want to hear the message, but I want the food too. So we're going to consider the Gospel of Mark primarily this morning. Our message is to give me one of hope, because our Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, just as he said. And because of that, we have great hope. Some of you maybe have read the book, Flags of Our Fathers. It was written by James Bradley. He's the son of one of the men, the six men, that did the flag raising on Mount Sarabuchi on February 23rd, 1945, during the Battle of Iwo Jima. His dad was one of those six men. That is the most reproduced photograph in the history of mankind. It's been sent over and over and over as they raised that flag. Of the six men depicted, those young men that raised that flag on Iwo Jima, three of them died in that battle. And so there's only three left. Overall, 7,000 young men died on Iwo Jima. It was the worst battle in the history of the United States Marine Corps. We lost more men in that battle than any other, Marines at least. James Bradley's father, John Bradley, was one of those three men that lifted the flag up and survived. And when James was a little boy, his third grade teacher told him that his daddy was a hero. So James went home and told his dad what his teacher had said. And his dad said, "Son, I want you to remember this. The real heroes of Iwo Jima were those that gave their life for their country. They were heroes because they sacrificed what Abraham Lincoln had said was the last full measure of devotion. They gave their life for their country." This Resurrection Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about one who gave his life, not just for his country, but for the salvation of the entire world. Those three men that died raising the flag didn't know they were going to die that day. They knew there was a good chance. A lot of men did die. But Jesus Christ went that day full well knowing that he was going to die, and he was going to die for me, and he was going to die for you and all the people of this earth. It tells us in Mark 16:1, it says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb." So the first day of the week, of course, on our calendar is Sunday. So very early in the morning on Sunday, they went. Now, if you recall, Jesus died on the cross at 3 p.m. and they hurriedly got his body into the tomb before 6 p.m., because 6 p.m. was the start of the Sabbath. Again, there's some confusion. Was this the regular Sabbath, Saturday, a Friday night sundown to Saturday, or was this a special Sabbath that would have been on Thursday? It's always been a debate back and forth on that. But the idea is that they had to get it into the tomb because they didn't want it out of the tomb after the Sabbath started, whichever day that was. The tomb of Jesus has never been used prior to Jesus going into it. Joseph offered it, not Joseph his father, stepfather, but Joseph of Arimathea offered it. He was a rich man and he had dug, and he was planning on probably using it for himself, but he hadn't died yet. And so he had a tomb just for the Lord. Jesus had already told the crowd many times, he told his disciples and many others, that he was going to die, his body was going to be in the grave for 3 days, and he was going to rise from the dead. But to the disciples, they had a memory lapse. Have you ever had a memory lapse? You forgot your wife's anniversary or birthday? Oh, shame on all of us. We all have memory lapses, don't we? For some reason, every time Jesus tried to tell them that he was going to die on the cross, the disciples didn't want to hear it. The other people didn't want to hear it either, because they really believed, according to Isaiah, that when the Messiah came, he was going to set up the millennial kingdom right away. And they had such a desire for that, that even though Isaiah 53 said that when the Messiah came, he was going to die, they didn't want to hear that part. And so sometimes we have memory lapses because we have a different plan than God or someone else has for us. The Sabbath had ended at sundown on Saturday. They had secured spices, these three ladies, and they were going to anoint the body early Sunday morning. The same women were present at the cross, believe it or not, when the disciples all ran. These women stood fast. These women were the last ones at the cross and the first ones at the tomb. Fellas, we can take a little advice from the gals and maybe be a little more brave with our witness for Christ. If you go to most churches, now ours is pretty evenly split, but most of the churches I went to as a boy, there were very few men and a lot of women. Women have always been strong in their faith, and we got to give these ladies credit. They were going to the tomb to properly care for the body of Jesus. But they also had a memory lapse. They forgot. He said, on the third day, I'm going to raise. He defeated death and Satan and all the demons of this world. What a wonderful Savior we have and we serve. If Jesus could conquer death and Satan and the demons, he can conquer every problem we have in our lives. Whether it's physical health, emotional health, a loss of a job, loss of whatever, the Lord can restore. And so we have to give our Lord the praise here. Unlike the Egyptians, the Jewish people did not embalm their dead. And so after 3 days, remember when Jesus raised Lazarus? Martha said, Lord, by this time he what? He stinks. Fourth day, your body starts to really decay rapidly and it's not pretty. So they went on the third day, thinking they were going to wrap his body with spices, which would take care of the odor. But unfortunately for them, when they got there, he was gone. I want to just give you a few examples of the many times Jesus had said he was going to raise from the dead. Because I wonder, as we read this, how much when we read the scriptures are we missing too? Because we have a different agenda for God in our lives than he has for our lives. We don't want to hear that part. When I start reading that, I'm just going to speed read it. But boy, when I read the part that I like, I'm going to slow it down and I'm going to pay more attention. So in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and then he must be killed, and after 3 days, raise again. They didn't like it. in Mark chapter 9, verse 31 again. Because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." And again in Mark chapter 10, verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." So Mary and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, those three ladies came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. They brought sweet spices. And again, we might pause for just a second and say, where are the men? Where were the men when the Lord was being crucified? The men were hiding for their lives. Now, John did come back and stand with Mary, but the other disciples, you know, remember Jesus said, "You're all going to fall away?" And Peter said, "Not me, boy. I'll die with you. I'll never forsake you." Well, fear can do strange things to us, but these ladies were right there at the cross till everything was done. They had followed the procession to put him in the tomb. They knew exactly where he was, and they were the first ones back. So the Greek word for sweet spices there that the ladies brought were aromaticus. That's where we get our word aromatic. They were sweet-smelling, so as the body decayed, these sweet-smelling spices would be all that you would smell. They were doing what they could in remembrance of their Lord. These ladies were not preachers. They were not evangelists. They were not leaders of their churches. But they were doing what they could do. That's an important lesson for all of us to know, because even in our day, the Lord has a work for you, and he has a work for me. We can't do it all, but we can do something. And these ladies were simply doing what they could with their gifts and their talents to serve their Lord. So it's very early on Sunday morning. It's the first day of the week, but they were never able to anoint his body. Remember when Mary of Bethany wasted her ointment, at least the apostles said? She came to anoint his body before his death. He didn't waste hers, but these three ladies wasted theirs because they came and he was already gone. So sometimes we need to move as quickly as we can, because later is too late. A lot of people are saying, well, in just another few months, just another couple years, I'm going to get busy serving the Lord. Folks, the time to serve the Lord is when you can. Okay, anytime you can. In Mark 16, verse 2, it says, "Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb." John 20, verse 1, we're not going to read it right now, but it says, "Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb while it was still dark. She may have gone ahead of the other two, but at sunrise, all three are there." And then they realized they had a little bit of a problem. They had forgotten about the huge stone that covered the mouth of the tomb. In Mark 16:3, "Early on the first day, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance." It seems the three ladies never thought about that stone, because that stone would have been big enough. It would have weighed hundreds of pounds, and there was no way three ladies were going to move it. That stone was put there to prevent people from robbing tombs. It was extremely heavy. So, have you ever been where those three ladies were, where you forgot something very important? And when you got to your problem, you found the Lord had already resolved it? Folks, often in life, the Lord knows our problems before we do. He knows what's coming. It says in Mark 16:4, "But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away." That stone could have been as big as a millstone. It would have weighed hundreds of pounds. They would have needed a couple men to really move that stone. But of course, for God, it's no problem at all. God can roll away the stones of your problems as well. Now, it doesn't mean he's always going to, but it means he's certainly able to if he chooses to. This stone was not rolled away to let Jesus' body out. It was rolled away so that the ladies and the disciples could get in to see that indeed the body was gone. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Have you ever wondered how the ladies went into the tomb and the guards? I mean, these are Roman guards. These are pretty strong men. Why didn't they stop the ladies? And why didn't they stop Peter and John when they came? Because they were totally terrified. They knew what this meant. There really is a God in heaven. And it's not the Roman gods. And they're trembling. The command of the angel is found in Mark 16, verse 4. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. Those three ladies were afraid, but they were braver than John. When John got to the tomb, he didn't go in. He waited till the big fisherman went in, and then John followed him in. But these three ladies, just at sunrise, are entering into a dark tomb. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd be too eager to go into a dark tomb at sunrise, but they did. So in 2 Timothy 1:7, if you ever wonder where they got their braveness from, here's the answer. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. These ladies had a spirit of power, not because they were physically stronger than the men, but because God had empowered them. They weren't afraid to go in. They weren't afraid to do whatever needed to be done for the Lord's glory. Once they saw the angel sitting there, they were scared again. I don't know if you'd be scared or not, but right around us this morning are angels. And you say, well, I wouldn't be too scared if I seen an angel. How would you feel if you saw a demon? Because just like the angels are around us, so are the demons. We can't see them, but they're there. In this case, the Lord opened their eyes so they could see the angel. I don't know if you know it or not, but the Bible says angels are ministering spirits, sent to serve those people that are serving their God. Angels are God's ministers to you, and they minister to your needs as you go. Do you suppose the Lord tells the angels before you have a need what's coming next? Your needs don't surprise God one bit, any more than this need of having that stone rolled back. The Lord wants you to know he is in charge. There's nothing going to touch your life that God is not prepared to bring an answer. And so we need to have that kind of faith. Luke records that there were two angels in the tomb, but Matthew and Mark focus just on the one that's doing the speaking. As they enter the tomb, they notice that an angel is sitting at the right side of the tomb with a long flowing gown. The angel looked to be a young man, but he had the greatest news ever heard. This is what he said in Mark 16, 6. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. The angel's message clearly identified the risen one as the crucified one. Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection are unlike anybody else's ever. The certainty of the resurrection rests on the angel's message from which God's people then and now are called to believe. You are called to believe in the resurrection and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't just the angel's testimony that we have, though, because after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to these three women. Then he appeared to the 11 apostles, because, of course, Judas had done what? Judas had went out and hung himself. He's not on the scene anymore. But he appeared to the 11, and then in the book of 1 Corinthians, it said he appeared to over 500 men and women at exactly the same time, and then he appeared to the Apostle Paul. So we have a lot of witnesses about the resurrection. In Mark 16:7, here's the call to us as well. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Our Lord is risen, and he wants us to go and tell others that he's risen, to give them the hope of the gospel. We get so scared of what's going to happen in the future. People are really scared about climate warming, about the atomic bombs. I mentioned this before. When I was a young boy, I probably was about 12, delivering newspapers in Saginaw, and I forgot to deliver a paper to one customer, and so my dad sent me back to get it delivered to her, and this lady was going frantic. This is 1957, so I would have been 10 years old. She was frantic because, don't you know the Russians are about to attack us with an atomic bomb? I need my newspaper. Well, folks, that's been a few years ago. Most of the things we worry about never happen, and even when they do happen, usually they're not near as bad as we fear them to be. The death of our Lord was a great hurt and pain and sorrow for all the apostles and the ladies, but it wasn't all bad news, was it? Because he died, because he rose from the dead, my sins and your sins, if you've trusted in him, are all forgiven. I'm going to rise from the dead too. I expect, if things go along the way they are, that I will die probably before Jesus comes. Now, Jesus could come tonight. I'm not saying he won't. But the chances are, some of you remember Paul Young from Trinity Baptist Church. Paul Young said, he told me this himself, the Lord has told me that I'm not going to die before the Lord comes. Well, I think he got his wires crossed. He's been gone about 30 years, I think, now. But I just want to tell you, the Lord is coming. And the wonderful news for each of us is, because he rose from the dead, when he comes, he's going to take my body, if it's in the grave, or change my body if I'm not yet gone. It's going to happen that quick, and I'm going to have a resurrected body too. No pain for all the rest of eternity. No sorrow for all the rest of eternity. Think about that. The resurrection of the Lord doesn't just mean that I'm going to rise, but I'm going to rise to newness of life. Life is going to be different. It's going to be absolute harmony with our Heavenly Father for all eternity. One last verse to read here, and it's 1 John 4, verse 13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for meeting our problem. Our problem is we're sinners. We were heading for the lake of fire. And just like you rolled back the stone, Lord, you rolled back the fear of death for us even before we were born, you already had an answer for our sin. Father, give us faith to trust. Give us a heart that's not afraid to serve. And Father, bless us today. And we'll give you the praise for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give it. Amen.